What's going on, everybody? It's Alan from Breaking and Entering, and you are checking out episode 20 of the B&E podcast. This week, we're talking with Pop Evil. Their sixth studio album is coming up, and their singles Work and Let the Chaos Reign are out now. They've toured with bands like Disturbed, Theory of a Dead Man, Five Finger Death Punch, Killswitch Engage, and plenty more. And they took the time to sit down and talk with us. So without further ado, let's talk to Pop Evil on the Breaking and Entering podcast. All right, so we are here with Lee Cacati of Pop Evil. Lee, how is it going?
Real good, man. Thanks for having me.
First and foremost, you're staying safe during quarantine and everything. Everybody's all right over on your end?
Yeah, man, we're all locked down. I mean, I'm in Michigan, so it's still kind of, still things are opening up very slowly. So just, and I got nowhere to go, right? No shows. So I'm trying to just be safe, and I got some loved ones with underlying health conditions, so I'm just trying to be as safe as possible.
Very good, very good. Well, we hope everybody stays safe. The new singles are out now, Work and Let the Chaos Reign. I have to ask, it's your sixth album, and do you get into like a routine when you're writing an album now and creating something, or does this feel a little bit different every time?
No, it's definitely different every time. You know, this feels like a big statement album for us. You know, five, that's a pretty big number to have under our belt. I mean, I think when you get to those like kind of millennial numbers in a way, right, that's a power number. Five albums, it makes you think like, wow, you know, I remember when we were trying to just get one. So
right.
it's just kind of puts it all in perspective for you. But now with this, it's like it's such a new chapter, and this album definitely feels like, you know, it's a must to let us stand out at the genre. You know, we've been here a long time doing our thing, and we still still plenty of people that don't really know the band and aren't, maybe they know the songs, but they haven't like really made the band a priority. And we need to really do our part of this album, I think, to stand out and at least take steps towards that. And I think that by doing this record, you know, it was very different. We had multiple producers always trying to do things a little creative and things a little different. And at the end of the day, you have to look at yourself, right? If you're not where you want to be in life, you can't do the same kind of things that you did to get where you're at. You need to do different things and think out of the box. And
right.
Certainly did that on this album. And we're always taking chances. I mean, I think to being a musician in this day and age, it's obviously different from all the different social media outlets and where to hear your music, but also it's very different with all these great artists that have been before you, you know what I mean? So, I mean, are you really going to be trying to be different? You're always pulling from other artists that have influenced you, you know?
Right.
And I think the more that these young kids are growing up, it gets harder to be, just stand out and do something new, you know? I mean, seems like even DJ revolution nowadays, people just pressing buttons and then go on their iPhone and learn how to play a guitar by just pressing a button. And, you know,
yeah.
Like, so it's just, it's a little bit more challenging, I think. So you have to be creative to just, you know, think out of the box, and us trying to be different with different producers is different ways of doing that, you know? And
yeah.
For us, especially this record, we wanted to take the demo process to the final album, you know, because I think that's a lot of what's lost, in my opinion, when I think back on over the years. It's like you demo all this great stuff. You know, a lot of times, you know, for me, especially being a vocalist, I'll go right into the demo process from tour, and their energy is just so infectious, and it's so exciting, and it's so awesome to hear. And then we'll go recut it somewhere else with a producer, and I'm like, well, the whole thing of the energy is what you capture in the demo process.
Yeah.
It's right there. So if you've got to go recut that, it's lost.
Yeah.
You know, so we made sure that we kept everything from the original demo, especially on these first two singles we dropped. I mean, that's it. I mean, that's the demo process when we brought it home to our family and friends and loved ones. And when they're kind of the test first, right? You know, when you play it for your friends, your fam, and they freak out, you know that that's special. And sometimes when you go recut that, you play it again for those loved ones, and they're
it
like,
loses it.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I like the other one better, you know, and of course you fight that battle
yeah.
for an album cycle. We'd be like, well, let me just listen to the demo again. No. This is the fine, you know? So it's definitely something that I've noticed, you know, just as I've gotten a little bit further in the career, that I'd rather package the quality from the original demo sessions that where I think fans would want to hear. And that energy is so contagious. And we definitely have that energy on stage and in our live show. We want to try to capture that on our albums, every
yeah.
album cycle, a little better than before.
Yeah. And one of the things you had mentioned there was that you kind of pick up a little bit from, you know, just the world and people that you hear from, you know, you know, artists that you certainly listen to and different realms of music. I personally hear a little bit of like kind of like an electronic kind of dubstepy kind of feel out of like work personally. What were you listening to when, you know, making the album that kind of, not maybe necessarily like influenced you directly, but like, what were you just kind of listening to while you were writing that you were kind of like, oh, maybe I can pull a little bit of this.
Sure. Well, I'm always, again, some people call it dubstep, some people call it hip hop, whatever they want to call it. I just call it beat. I call it groove. I call it dance. You know, yeah. And I think that when I think about a pulse and a heartbeat, I feel like, you know, a lot of times is where my head's at, where my life's at. And I love stuff that's heavy. I love stuff that hits, whether, you know, you want that smash of the guitars or that ripping solo, or whether you want that rhythm section to just kind of blow you in the face when you're listening, standing by the sub speakers. And I want all kinds of different elements on our album. I always have, you know, as a singer, I don't want to be bored playing the same song over and over and over.
Right.
Some people like that, and that's okay. Some people don't, you know, I mean, I'm a fan as well. And I want my albums and my live show to be more relatable to life, right? I want that peaks and flows, or ebbs and flows that are relatable to life.
Yeah.
That, you know, bring us up and they bring us back down so we can, you know, hopefully, you know, be relaxed and somewhat sane during, you know, those tough times that are dealing with life. And obviously now we're all dealing with it. It's crazy how these songs have all kind of resonated, but I mean, I was listening, I'm always listening to different genres, always taking things alike. I mean, if you call it hip hop or dubstep, I love the way things drop out, come back in. I love the way they smack you in the face. I love the way they kind of put you into hypnotized kind of trance. And that was the big thing. You know, I love taking other genres and put that pop evil spin on it. You know, I mean, how can we take those kind of rhythm tones and those sonic sounds and those heavy hits and put guitar all over them?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like you think about all my hip hop and dubstep friends, they all love rock and they all want to take rock elements for the things. And we
and
always want to
flip
take
it their way.
Good about their flip it. Right. So it's like, you know, having a lot more musical friends in different genres is definitely, it entices you to be like, well, could I do my own spin? Let's do a pop evil spin on it. I'll do my own thing.
Right.
And they always love that, you know? So again, and sometimes it's producer based and what they're capable of and what they do. And again, my voice is always the link, but on a song like Work, it's interesting because it's my real voice. It's not my rock stage voice. So you get like, you know, a lot of my friends in the early stages would be like, wow, is that you? It doesn't even sound like you.
Right.
Because they're not used to hearing me in that lower tone. And when I'm normally just talking or singing, you know, I ever gonna break free, you know, and I can sing, take it a little bit more, get a little more jazz with the pre, you know. I mean, it's just a lot of fun. And then of course when we break the chorus, I really feel like in the past there's a lot of vocals all over pop evil choruses. It just felt good to let the music do the talking in this song. And
yeah,
it goes perfectly with the Work concept. I mean, all I do is work. There's nothing else to say more than that.
Yeah.
And I know that a lot of people can relate. And for me, the song dealt with a lot of issues with my loved ones. You know, it's like I was in a mental rut. I felt like all the people that I loved, I was always telling them to text me. And you know, the big moment and pickup for me with the song was always about, you know, all the people I know are just on my phone. It's like, this is ridiculous. Like,
right.
I'm always traveling, I'm always touring. It's like, you know, my close loved ones, I'm so always like, just text me, I'll talk to you guys soon, blah blah blah. And
they'll
FaceTime later. And it's like real human contact wasn't good enough. It's like, just hey, I'm always working. So it was a nice reminder to, you know, start appreciating the things that are more important in your life and those things that you really matter the most. And ironically, now a pandemic has struck and I'm able to be here, you know, for weeks now with the loved ones. So it's been great for me personally as far as that goes. But, you know, we can't go anywhere. Well, you can, I guess, if you want to take the risk. But, you know, again, I don't want to.
For the most part, yeah, you're kind of confined.
Yeah, for the most part. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, so it was a definitely interesting song, obviously. Real experimental with something we haven't done before. I'm really excited to finally get back on stage and be able to play a song like that. I think it's going to really resonate even stronger with our fans when they can actually see us doing it and being like, oh, okay, yeah, I get it.
Right.
But that's always the risk, right? You know, you want to be more creative more than ever now because this is a streaming business. It's a singles business nowadays. And, you know, I'm just tired of hearing people complain about why rock isn't where it needs to be. Why don't we think of our own ways to think of songs that might trigger new faces, new fans to come over our way and realize just how much they love rock and metal and listen to the rest of our catalog. You know, we are pop people for a reason. We are the duality between alt rock and metal. I mean, that's always what we've done.
Yeah. Yeah. And you hear parts of that, you know, it feels like a step forward even from like the last record. And kind of in theory of that, you know, you guys have been around for a decade plus really touring and being on the major circuit. What would you say is the biggest way that Pop Evil has evolved as a band over like the last decade, even of, you know, since you were first getting onto a major label?
Well, I think we're still answering that question, right? We're still figuring it out. I mean, I think the band, you know, they did a great job this album of letting me, like, for example, the last record, we all got together and sat in the house and all kind of wrote together. And it's not easy to do that. You know, like for me, I write songs, I write themes. The band doesn't write lyrics and themes. So they write a little bit backwards. They write the music and then I got to bring music in. And okay. The reality is if I'm not feeling the music, I'm stuck.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not easy. It's not easy when you put a whole band together to just change up everything. Everyone's thinking and getting it. It's a lot easier for me to go in and be like, okay, I got music already. I got the beat. I'm already feeling it. Cause when you're a front man and you're the front of the project, you know, you have to be feeling it, and you kind of, the other band members are vulnerable to be like, well, if he's not, and they're smart enough now to know, well, if he's not feeling it, then let's roll to the next thing. Cause he's right. Gotta be like, if I'm anxious and excited, like it's all like work. If I'm not feeling that, how am I going to sell that to y'all? How are you going to buy into that this needs to be in our set? You're not. You know what I mean?
You're the face of it, yeah.
It's, yes, because you know when you see that band live, I mean, it's one of my favorite songs on the record. And to be honest, this is easily the best Pop Evil record, just because you're going to feel the sound. It's going to hit you like any, I mean, these first two songs are definitely an indication of how this album hits. Like, it's just, that was a big thing to me. Like, I wanted to make sure that, you know, when I'm on stage, I can feel that low end. I can feel those moments to just bring me more energized on stage to showcase them. Everything to the band now, I think maybe now as I'm talking about it, everything how we've evolved is about our live show.
Yeah.
And you've been blessed to have the hits we've had. We want to take out all weakness. I mean, what is it, 15 to 17 songs when we headline? Like, how can we make that moment in time when you spend your time and money to come see Pop Evil? How can we stand out? We want to give you those moments. We want to give you the show where we really kick you in the face right off the bat. Maybe then we bring you down with some of these songs that are more vocal driven to remind you that you're not alone, whether you've lost a loved one or whether you're down on your luck, you've lost your job. We got those songs to help. You know, our songs, everything about it is motivational.
Yeah.
And the band's been great about letting me kind of, especially this record, let Lee find his energy. Once he finds his energy, then we'll just add our, we'll add our opinions, we'll add our thoughts, and we'll come together to really make this magic, you know. And that takes a mature band and mature people to do that, you know, because this business is a lot normally about egos, and everyone wants to be the man or the woman, you know. I mean, everyone
right.
wants to be the center of attention, and that's not how it works in sports and music. And not everyone's LeBron James, but the cast around him is important, you know, for the Lakers to win a title.
Totally.
So I mean, it takes a bit of maturity. It takes a bit of failure. It takes some success to kind of realize that, hey, man, we all have strengths. We all have weaknesses. We need to really kind of collaborate together and focus on our strengths and push these weaknesses aside. It's not about necessarily what we want anymore. I mean, because we have fans, you have to be responsible to, you know, people are counting on you. And it's those bands, I feel, that really understand that sometimes those fans are, we have a responsibility even over our family. If we're on tour, they matter. You know, you can't just think about the person who just maybe chose to live because of your song, but you decide to not go to the show, or you decide to skip out, or
right.
you decide to have a drink the night before so my voice is bad. I mean, you have to be responsible in this day and age for even one person that comes to see you. And again, that's a people business, man. It helps about how we were raised, about how I was raised. This isn't about making money. This isn't about being the coolest band in the room. This is about people, man.
Yeah.
That matter. They go through, we wanted, I remember being in prayer on my knees when I was a little kid, praying for fans. Well, guess what? The Lord blessed me. And I'm trying to get in some religious speak here. Music is my religion, okay? But I remember being in prayer as a little man for fans. And guess what? I've been blessed to have it. I take it very, very seriously. And I try my best to, you know, be positive. And I know my band, as the front man of this band, I know that we collectively as a team try to do our parts to not only inspire our fan base, but there's a lot of little ones that come, you know, and we try to think about what songs we can create that bring not only mom and dad, but they're not afraid to bring their kids with. Because let's face
right.
it, not every mom and dad wants to go see Taylor Swift with their kids. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
as great as Taylor is, rock is special, man. Like it's that genre of music where mom and dad ain't afraid to take their kids to, and they're not afraid to grow up with their kids with. You know what I mean?
Oh,
I mean,
of
we
course.
Have so many fans that are like,
hey, man, we came with my mom and dad when I was 13. Guess what? Now I'm in my 20s. This is awesome. We still come to every Pop Evil show.
Nice.
I mean, that's an honor, you know? So it's something that with songs like Work, I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, obviously, it's a younger targeted song in ways. You know, we are still a band that can really transcend, you know? And we've played with bands, you know, timeless bands from Judas Priest to Poison, Cheap Trick to, of course, we've played with the younger bands, I Prevail, to even to Five Finger. You know, I mean, we're one of those rare bands that can tour with that. And I think you have to be able to tour with that many bands nowadays because the opportunities aren't as vast as maybe other genres that are in the pop secular world. So, again, man, we're just trying to be creative, just trying to be smart about it. We're not the youngest chickens in the coop now. We know kind of we've been around. We know what works for us and us as people mostly off the stage so we can bring quality and honesty to our stage show. And that's something that we're always thinking about.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, especially makes a lot of sense in the 2020 landscape of music that, you know, the live show is so important to that. You talked about the bands that you played with. Who is your kind of your favorite band? Maybe not necessarily like your like all-time favorite to listen to, but just your favorite band to tour with.
Oh, man, they're all good. You know, I mean, we just got off, I think, the most recent tour with Skillet and Seven Dust. You know, I mean, we love both those bands. They're both two different dynamics, you know, and we've grown up, we played with Seven Dust many times. They're always great. I mean, I think last year, just in that touring cycle, last album was Cheap Trick and Poison. I mean, those kind of tours are legendary. When you get a chance to tour with Poison and Cheap Trick, I mean, you think back when you were a kid, listening to those bands when you got the cassette tapes, and you think,
right,
man, you'll be sharing a stage with one. And the way those bands treated us, they treated us like little brothers, you know, always, you know, having us up on stage with them every night playing and performing. I mean, they opened up not only their personal arms, but they opened up their band family and their fans to us to be a part of their show and to take care of us off the stage as well. I mean, I we were doing the same. I know I have some great connects with some of my electric bike companies. I was giving them electric bikes on stage, surprising them with gifts. They were gifting us stuff. It was just an awesome opportunity to be on tour with bands like that, just because they remind you of, again, just the road you've traveled, and those are the tours you'll never forget. But the bands that we play with now, currently, when you play with those current bands, they're fresh, right? I mean, that's energy. You can, when you play with, like, we had some shows booked with Sarandon. We were looking forward to that.
Yeah.
This year. I mean, when you play with bands like that, oh man, the energy is so infectious. Not only from the band, that's phenomenal, Sarandon's phenomenal, but their crowd is so youthful, electric, right? You know,
right.
The energy you get from that younger audience. And what I mean by younger audience is as an audience that's not afraid to mosh or get up front and get sweaty. You know, sometimes,
yeah,
when you play with the bigger classic bands, they play in amphitheaters with seats, so it's not easy to get that many people up next to you with bodies just dripping sweat off each other.
Yeah,
you know,
getting people moving.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's so much of what bands are my favorite. It's those shows when it's just bodies crammed in and everybody's looking at you from the pit with smiles and horns high. I mean, that is the infectious. That is the addiction, right?
Right.
It's that kind of energy that you look back. It doesn't matter. You could sit up and trip and drop your microphone. They don't care. They're screaming at the top of their lungs for you, singing every word. And that's when you know you really are accepted by people. And a lot of us musicians, you know, we've always been looking for identity. We maybe have felt out of place in the world, but it's that moment when we have, for me, the microphone, and my band members have their instruments in front of them, and they see that sea of people screaming for you, and you feel like you know who you are. So, I mean, there's a lot of different variables that go into just favorite band playing with. But I mean, any of those bands, you know, as long as they're cool to us, I think that's the big thing. You know, bands that are cool to you, that makes them cooler, you know? And,
right.
And so far, we've been very lucky to have all the bands we tour with have always been so grateful to us, and we try to do the same back to them and just be appreciative. But it's that show, really, that really, you know, and you know, especially when you're opening, it's a different dynamic, right? We don't got to play very long. So it's just, and nowadays, every song, if it's a short set for us, every song's a hit we play. So it's great. It's like a Pop Evil Greatest Hits album when we do these shorter sets.
Right.
And we get in and get off, you know, save our energy, save our bodies a little bit of extra wear and tear, and certainly me for the vocal, and we can get ready to the next and enjoy the headliner at those points, you know. And usually a big band, we can sit and enjoy a show. When we headline, it's a little more work, right? We're playing for an hour to 2 hours,
right,
depending on the night, and you know, but again, know, there's nothing better than a headline show when it's your fan base and they're there for your music. So
yeah,
so many different things. That's a good question.
Yeah, and you said that you know, you craft, I mean, you, unintentionally, everything gets crafted kind of around the live show, and playing hits versus playing, you know, getting a headlining slot where you're playing for longer.
Right.
Is there anything in your set that is like an absolutely, like, it's just your favorite to play? Like one song that like totally stands out that no matter what, even if it's, you know, just a hit set tonight, one that you want to, that you always are like pushing for, like you just love playing it live?
Nah, they all have their good and bad moments, right? Depends on the night. I mean, it's just like people have good and bad nights, bands have good or bad shows, we have good and bad crowds, right? Like, so, but usually any song that people, your fan base is getting into is awesome. You know, and I think you have those, the real answer for that, more realistic, is when the songs that surprise you that night. You know what I mean? You're like, okay, oh, wow, that crowd was insane. They sang Deal with the Devil so insane. Or they sang Be Legendary. Like, wow, I wasn't expecting that. You know, yeah. I obviously expect them to go nuts to Trenches and Waking Lions and Footsteps and, you know, some of our more mega hits that we do, you know, with the band catalog. But sometimes when some of your other hits that you're not expecting, you know, and again, Deal with the Devil, they usually go nuts. Oh, that's the number one song. So again, but sometimes there's those moments in the show that you don't expect the crowd to be that lit for, you know?
Yeah.
So when they do go, you're always, we have those moments after on the tour bus where like, did you hear that crowd during that song? They'll be like, what about that crowd during? And we'll be like, dang, yeah, that was awesome. And it brings you newfound love for that song on that particular tour. Or maybe they don't go is good to a song that we just added to the set. We're like, okay, maybe it's time to cut that song for a night or two. Let's try this one. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, so it's we're in that awesome position with five albums that, you know, we're lucky we can add songs and take songs out.
Right.
It'll be a whole different world too with this new album. I mean, we've come with 12 brand new songs or whatever it is going to be, 12 to 14, whatever.
Right.
But I mean, that'll be a whole new set of songs and options we can add. I mean, we're going to have to take songs out too, which, that's always a challenge because people don't ever want you to take your old hits out. They want the old, and we of course want the new. You know, so it'll be an awesome, fun conundrum once the touring opens back up.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, with having six albums out, or well, a sixth album coming, that's a lot of writing. But we're all obviously quarantined right now. We're all kind of home. Have you guys been working on, you know, demoing anything new for beyond that? I mean, it kind of puts you in a weird position where you're not in a normal album cycle, I guess. Is there any chance that you're writing for more than that?
Well, I wrote, you know, for me personally, I can only speak for myself. I don't know what the band, I'm trying to be a little smarter by getting themes. That's the hard part, right? You can have music till the cows come home, but last time I checked, nobody's buying music on iTunes. You're buying songs. So it always is a little more challenging to get the theme around it. We have tons of good music and instrumentals, but again, we need concepts for them. You need that, you know, you can have all this great music that everyone's vibing to, but until you get that, like, all I do is work. Oh, dude, yeah. Now the song comes to life. Now you can really, really attach yourself to the song if you can relate to the theme. You
right.
know, to, again, Let the Chaos Reign. It was like once that music was infectious, but until Let the Chaos Reign, that lyrical concept came about, song was nothing, just but a cool riff. You know what I mean? So it's really tough. We got tons of instrumentals myself. It's just songs that are teed up. I got a few that are massive songs, I feel, for the band that I kept off this particular album just because we had lots. I mean, and then you'll see every song on this album coming up could be a single, could be a hit. You know, we try to keep it very hooky and infectious. And you know, that was our goal. This album was no B-side, of course.
Yeah.
There'll always be songs that fans like better than others. But to us, I mean, we wanted songs that we felt like could just come immediately and affect our live show. So that's what we feel we have. Always writing, but again, I'm not trying to seriously stress, just trying to finish this new album first. And I really feel like when you separate things in life, being older, a little older now in life, that when you separate it, you have time to enjoy it. You know, that if I just go right back to writing more, and then, you know, look, I'm off. And if we're going to be off for probably a year, I'm going to enjoy it with the fam. You know,
because
once we get better to rock, I'll be gone for the next 2 years, or who knows how long we'll be gone for.
Right.
So, again, man, I just haven't been home, and you know, in these old stomping grounds in a long time. So I'm just going to just forget about being a musician for a little bit and then and just be normal for a minute. And I think it's good for the soul. And then that way it'll make me appreciate when I'm able to go back, and hopefully my body and mind and voice will be rested and we'll be ready to throw down for sure. But for now, I'm just trying to just stay positive. And if this is where we're meant to be, I'm just going to enjoy it.
Very cool. Two real quick ones. Obviously, quarantine, and you just said kind of, you know, getting away from being a musician for a little bit. Anything that you've had a chance to kind of pick up while we've been all inside and home that, you know, just a hobby or something that you really don't usually get time to do that you've had time to do now since you've been home?
Yeah, man. I've been really diving back into the acoustic. You know, I mean, a lot of times these songs are written with me and the acoustic guitar, you know, and
right.
They kind of evolve from there. I call them like campfire versions because I'm always writing for my voice, you know. And I mean, I'm not really trying to write heavy riffs and then throw down, because it's, you know, you want it to be basically campfire chill, you know.
Yeah.
When you're playing on your house, I'm not sitting here trying to throw down for an audience. I'm just playing for myself, you know. So I've always had these campfire versions of the songs, but I haven't really played them because we're on tour. When I get back, the last thing I want to do is play guitar.
Right.
So, but it's been awesome. I mean, on a lot of these Instagram or these Facebook Live takeovers, if there's some floating around, you'll have to see. I've been playing again. I've been playing, you know, picking up the guitar and really doing these awesome versions that, again, were supposed to be just for me and my close friends and family, you know, that we do when we're around the bonfire or around the lake here out in Lake Michigan. So
yeah.
It's been awesome for fans to get an opportunity to hear these versions, and it's triggered some interest. And who knows, maybe when we get the live show back, we'll incorporate some acoustic performances in the set. You know, we can really strip it down and break it down, and maybe there's a way to incorporate the band in it as well. And, you know, we'll see, man, but it's been awesome to get back and really freshen up those acoustic chops and just, you know, get that flame again for, you know, playing and singing, and it's been cool. So that's been refreshing.
Nice. Very cool. And then lastly, you know, once we do get back to that live show and back to touring, we're in Milwaukee. We're on the other side of Lake Michigan from you, but we're a beer city. So what beer should we have ready for you guys backstage?
Line of Kugel, man. I have the Summer Shanty. I'm not a big drinker, but if I was going to drink, I'll drink a Line of Kugel for sure all day, man. So it's like an orange juice, right?
Yeah. Very cool.
I love it.
All right. Well, Lee, thank you for taking so much time to sit down and talk with us. Can't wait to hear the new record. Can't wait to have you guys coming back around our neck of the woods as well. And anything else you'd like to pass on to the fans real quick before we head out?
Yeah, I just want to thank them for all the support, man. And hopefully I'd put a challenge out to the fans that they learn all these new songs that we drop. So when we do come back, I'll challenge them to see if they'll sing these songs back to me louder than I'll be singing it to them. So there's the thing I'd like to challenge and say to the fans.
Very cool. All right, well, we'll make sure that we have some loud crowds ready for you here in the Midwest. So
I love it. I love it. I'll be looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Yeah, thanks, Alan. Yes. Bye now. Have a good week.
All right, and thank you so much to Lee Cicotti of Pop Evil for sitting down and talking with us. Don't forget to stream Work and Let the Chaos Reign, the two new singles that are out now. Be sure to look for the new Pop Evil record that when it comes out a little bit later this year. And don't forget, you can check out music every day at breakingandentering.net. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, YouTube, TikTok, and pretty much anywhere on the internet. Until next time, thank you for listening to the B&E Podcast.